The research says that if you have rich relationships outside of technology, then technology actually just makes those richer.
Really?
So it's like the rich get rich, but the poor get poor. Mm. So if you don't have healthy relationships outside of technology, or you don't even have a network of people and you're just extremely lonely, then social media will only exacerbate your loneliness.
Well, hey friend, welcome to Job with Julie. I'm so glad that you've joined me for this bonus episode. My name is Julie Slattery, and this podcast is an outreach of Authentic Intimacy, a ministry dedicated to reclaiming God's design for intimacy and for sexuality. You know, friendship is an absolutely essential part of a full life. You can go through life without being married, but you really can't go through life without having good friends. Whether you're single or married, whatever your age, male or female, bottom line, you need friendships. But finding and forming good friendships isn't easy, and no one really teaches us how to do that. It's sort of like a trial and error process. That's what I'm going to be talking about today with my guest, Bailey Hurley. Bailey is a regular contributor to She Reads Truth, Deeply Rooted Magazine, Grit and Virtue, Flourish, and other such publications. She has an MA from Denver Seminary, and she's really a cheerleader for godly friendships and hospitality. Bailey has written a new book called Together is a Beautiful Place, and we'll link to that in our show notes and at AuthenticNMC.com. One thing to consider as you're listening, this is a great episode to share with maybe some younger women in your life. If you're someone who likes to mentor people, maybe invite a few of them over to your home and listen to this episode together and talk about it. Because we really do need guidance on how to find and form good friendships. Well, now we'll head to the coffee shop for my conversation with Bailey Hurley.
Bailey, you're my new friend. I'm so glad to meet you today.
Yes, you too. I've been excited. Also, I have only done an in-person podcast one other time. This is very exciting.
Okay, how did it go?
It went really well, okay. But we actually sat side by side instead of across from each other, like we were having a real conversation.
Yeah.
So that was different, but okay. This is so fun.
Well, good. It's so much better than, you know, the whole remote thing.
Yes.
So I'm glad we can do it.
Yes, me too. Yeah.
So now you are an expert on friendship. Do you realize that?
I mean, that was the goal. So
yeah. Once you write a book on something, everybody assumes you're the expert on it.
I think I'd prefer the title Community Queen.
Community Queen.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. So I feel like this is such a common question, but you kind of have to ask it. Like,
of course.
Why did you write a book on friendship?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think I can look back and there's a lot of different reasons why I did. If I could just, you know, kind of bullet point a few of them, a friend brought me to Jesus, brought me to my faith and shared that with me and invited me into a community of believers when I was in middle school. And that was such a fruitful experience. Those men and women, I don't know, boys and girls at the time, they were my family. And I feel like one of a kind experience. We were led by an amazing youth pastor that I feel like really fostered these friendships that were founded in Jesus. And it just took off from there. And then it also came from a lack of friendship and a lack of godly community. And in college, I just had this disparity of, okay, wow, I thought this would just, you know, continue to expound on the relationships that I had already built. I went to a small Christian university. I felt like they had really promoted community as one of the best things about this time of your life. And also, so many of my mom's friends would say, okay, you thought you had friends in high school, but wow, like your college friends, mm-hmm. those are your sisters. Those are the people who will be in your wedding. Mm-hmm. These are the people that will like stand by you forever. And so I just had some really high expectations of these are going to be my people. And it just wasn't that way. Mm. And so I kind of took both this really, I felt like, incredible experience of community, this really not so incredible experience of community. And then as a young adult, I thought, how can I bridge the two? Take some of the things that I've learned from this didn't go well. I felt like these relationships, these were mistakes I had made in friendships that didn't allow them to like take off or be developed. Truly, I just had no one ever teach me how to do friendship.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to teach myself. And I think that's what a lot of women do have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, I feel like I've had some great tried and true practices where now I've been in Denver for almost a decade. And it's been really great to see how community has developed, not only for myself and for my family, but creating a space for other people to find each other. So something my husband and I love to say is we love to foster community for ourselves, but also for others. We want a place where people can be meeting each other, be having really great connection, create space for that to happen. And then it's not all the pressure isn't on us to be friends with everyone. Then they can have the opportunity to be friends with each other and, like, you know, go off from there.
Yeah, you're right. We never take a class on how to be a friend.
No, never.
But it's so central. And you said, like, women have to figure this out. Guys have to as well.
They do.
They don't have really the handbook on this either. So, guys, this one is for you too.
Yeah. It is.
We talk so often in the Christian world about marriage, about family, about parenting. But yet friendship is also a spiritual category of relationship that it seems like we don't really focus on. Is it, do you think it's just because we take it for granted or we don't think about friendship being a spiritual thing?
I think we take it for granted. If I think back to even my church community, small group, I think is, you know, small groups or Bible studies. I think that's where they feel like community probably happens best. And I don't think that's untrue, but there definitely is a difference between community with a group of maybe strangers that become like family and then having friendships with a few people that it's intimate and it's special and it's shared time together. There's just like a different level of commitment there that I feel like maybe doesn't get touched on as much as the idea of community in a big church and or community in a small group setting.
Mm-hmm. Well, also the word friend can be used in so many different ways. Like you're describing it as this close kind of committed relationship. A lot of us would say, oh, that's my friend. And it means somebody that I don't know well. Like I even said, you're my new friend. Yes. We don't even know each other yet. So it's such a broad term that in some ways we probably don't even know what we're talking about when we say the word friend. But you're using it in your book in the context of a significant relationship.
Yes, a significant relationship that you have committed to. It's a reciprocated, you know, cared for, sharing burdens, being there for one another type of relationship that's only shared with a few, not the many. Because you're right, there are acquaintances that I often will call them friends as well. Yeah. Because you're like, well, they're friends, but you know what? In reality, they're more acquaintances. I actually don't call them or, you know, see them as often as I would like, or I wouldn't share with them my deepest, darkest secrets.
Right. But you would never say you're not my friend. That just sounds mean.
It does.
Well, you talk in the book, and I think this is a good place to start. Like, what are the qualities of a friend? How do we even identify, first of all, if we're good friends, like if we're developing those qualities in ourselves, but then look for them in other people?
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful question. And for those of you who have been kind of reconsidering the level or depth of your friendships, this is a great conversation to have with your friends too, asking them, how do you define friendship? What makes, how would you look for a friend, or what are you looking for in a friend? I think it can change. There's some definitely foundations, things like people who are trustworthy, who I think are committed to excellence, people who are humble and can apologize for their mistakes. Like, those are some real true foundations for what kind of friend you would look for and what kind of friend you would hope to be. But then also, I believe that there are things you look for in different seasons. So when I moved to Denver, I was actually looking for a church family, a church community. And when I was seeking, I had found a community that reminded me a lot of my church home from my childhood. But there wasn't a lot of young adults. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of opportunity to be involved with the youth group or to serve in these areas, to be mentored by some older women, but there weren't people my age. And so I thought, you know what? What I needed in this season is people my age. I'm so lonely. I don't know how to find people. It's time that I need to put myself in context where I can actually meet people my age who are available to spend time with me. So in that season, I was looking for single women who, you know, had that availability to kind of introduce myself to a new city, to do fun things, to be more spontaneous. And now, you know, it's shifted a little bit to those relationships and friendships are still important. But you know what? What do we need now? And it's, you know, now we're looking for friends that have children because our children need community too. And what does that look like to have time with friends when it's also time with your children as well? And so I think when you're evaluating what am I looking for in a friend, I think it's okay to say, what are my needs? Do I need someone who can give more time than like maybe some of my other friends are able to give right now? Or am I looking for friends that just will get me outside? Like, you love hiking, you love reading, you love I don't know, going to the gym. Like, then, you know, you're looking mm-hmm. for friends who maybe can meet those short-term needs, while also I think you'll find the people then that meet the important and past the surface level needs of people who are good listeners and can comfort, or people who can, yeah, empathize, listen to work troubles, or all sorts of things that I think we're really looking for meaning mm-hmm. in our relationships. But I also think it's okay to look for things that you're just, you know, needing on the day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I can hear a lot of intentionality in mm-hmm. how you describe that, like both when you first moved to Denver mm-hmm. as well as now. Like, yes. my needs have changed, and yeah. that's important. I want to talk more about that.
Yeah.
But before we do that, there's a tension there, because mm-hmm. part of it is, how do we not just become friend shoppers? You know what I mean? Like, almost like with dating apps, you yep. know, like, oh, that person won't work. Like, uh-huh. it's all about me and right. my needs mm-hmm. versus, yeah, that's important, but also, who is around me that I can be a friend to mm-hmm. or that I might overlook because right. they don't match my profile?
Absolutely. No, that's beautiful. And that's a beautiful thing to consider as you're looking for friends. And I think that is probably the gift of the Lord. We know that we are weak and we have failed him and we are not good friends. And yet he sees us and invites us into friendship with him. Mm-hmm. And so I think as long as you are staying connected to the root of Jesus as your foundation for looking for friends, I think you will find yourself seeing people who are maybe on the outside. And I truly believe that the Lord puts an affinity in our hearts for people you just might not have originally picked out. Mm-hmm. And there, a beautiful friendship develops with people who are so different or don't have the same interests or don't think the same way. So I think it's totally possible. And I think it's kind of keeping an open mind when those friendships stumble in on your path.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there are also those situations where somebody might be pursuing us as a friend. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice on that? Like, that can be like, you know, sometimes people are really blunt and they'll even just say, I don't have space for a new friend. Mm-hmm. And they, maybe they don't say it that bluntly, but they just are not open.
Yeah.
They have real high boundaries. And is that important to have, where you're like, I can only have so many friends? Or should we have the posture of, maybe God's bringing this person into my yes. life for a reason?
Yes, there's a couple of thoughts on there. And one, I think it's always great. This is so funny because you're right. Friendship does sound a lot like dating. Yeah. So I always think if, you know, I think it's beautiful to connect, even if it's just one time, mm-hmm. Because you will be reaching out to others and you're hoping that they will give you the chance to go meet for coffee at least once.
Yeah.
And I'm always saying, you know, it doesn't hurt because you're not marrying this person. So it's not forever.
Yeah.
It's okay to have a conversation, and maybe it doesn't, you know, follow up after that, but you just never know. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that I think you should always be open to new friendships, because friendships are always shifting and changing and falling away, if I can say that bluntly. Unfortunately, yeah, friends are not forever. And I think at this stage in life, especially for those who are listening, like, you will have experienced friends that have just kind of, yeah, just drifted apart. Maybe you've had a friend break up, or you just notice, like, wow, I can think about, you know, the friendships we've made in my son's kindergarten class this year. Well, next year, he'll be in a first grade class, and we're going to yeah. be with a whole new set of parents. And so your attachment to people should be enjoyed, but also should be very open-handed. Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like being open to friendship kind of leaves the door open. So as friendships are falling away, new ones are starting again. And I think that's very natural, though yeah. we don't assume it's natural. We assume we'll make three friends. We'll be friends for the eternity, and that's all you'll ever need, and you don't need anything more. But I think in reality, it's very fluid. And yeah. unfortunately, yeah, friends are going to come and go. And so at this point, you should be pretty open to mm-hmm. new friendships. I say you should always be a student in making friends. Like, you should always be learning, and you should always be open for something new and different. Mm-hmm. Also, if you feel like you're maxed out and you have someone reaching out, pursuing you, asking to spend time with you, that's where those community gatherings really are super helpful, because my husband and I will say, let's do a basketball watching party, and we'll invite the neighbors, we'll invite friends from church, we'll invite families from the school. We're just going to bring lots of different social circles together and make those connections between them, and then just kind of hope, okay, I hope you guys connect. I hope yeah. you find someone that you can call next time. So again, it's not on you to bear the burden maybe of, I need to be friends with everybody, but say, I can be open and I can mm-hmm. invite people in. And then I can also be like prayerful and be a connector and help them make connections with other people so that they can take off on their own friendships. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can have a friendship, but maybe it's not as close as kind of a buddy-buddy one-on-one mm-hmm. thing. Part of friendship is experiencing hurt mm-hmm. and sometimes really deep hurt, especially if you have invested in a person and then you get to the place where there's a conflict you can't overcome mm-hmm. or maybe even worse, just somebody starts to drift away. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about how we deal with that?
Yeah. I think the first steps, because after a friendship hurt, insecurity is living large. Mm-hmm. And it actually, at least for me, it plays a part in all my other friendships as well. So not that insecurity kind of begins to carry into all those other friendships. And I think it really weakens them in the ways that I begin to distrust everybody mm-hmm. and wonder, oh, well, do I continue to share with these people? Because what if they completely turn a different corner and all of a sudden everything blows up? And like, where did this come from? And what if it happens again? And so one thing that I've done in the past is invite someone outside of the experience to mm-hmm. share with. One, to, I think, stay above reproach in that specific community, because this person is probably somebody who's friends with the other friends. Mm-hmm. So to just really like not, I think, invite those people into the situation, but you could definitely reach out to someone like a third party to say, and that could be a counselor. It could be a lot of different people.
So you don't want to just like air your dirty laundry and gossip. And,
yeah, exactly.
Like that'll create teams.
Only cause more issues and more mm-hmm. pain. And so invite someone in and I even ask them to kind of speak truth over you, being like, I'm feeling like everybody hates me and whatever it could be. Everybody mm-hmm. hates me. Nobody likes this thing about me. Everyone thinks I'm weird or everyone thinks this about me. And just say, I need you to speak truth over me and allow them to say, you know, I've always loved you and I don't see these things. And this is just one person's experience. So yeah, invite someone to speak truth. I would say address things as quickly as possible, even if it feels uncomfortable and awkward, or allow yourself, just like a marital conflict, you can say, hey, I do need time, but how about Thursday at 2:00? We're going to come back to this topic, instead mm-hmm. of just saying like, I need time, and you never, mm-hmm. it just never gets touched on. You never allow mm-hmm. that other person, or for you, you were never given the opportunity to share, find closure, apologize, whatever it might be that you're needing to move forward. Mm-hmm. And then I'd say the third thing is to really be aware of what has happened and to try not to carry these new narratives into your future friendships, because you will. And so I think really taking the time to flip narratives around so that you can kind of like walk in again. What I would say, truth, because emotions really make things very messy.
How does technology and social media make friendship today more complicated?
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, I was just reading some research on this and I thought it was very true. The research says that if you have rich relationships outside of technology, then technology actually just makes those richer.
Really?
So it's like the rich get rich, but the poor get poor. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have healthy relationships outside of technology, or you don't even have a network of people and you're just extremely lonely, then social media will only exacerbate your loneliness and your depression and your feelings of, I'm not invited, I'm not included. So it's interesting. So they're like, technology is not all bad. And I would actually say it serves my friendships. I use it a lot because I'm a mom at home. So I can't just, I don't know, drop everything and go do stuff. And so it has been a delight for me to stay in touch with people. But I can also, I've been in seasons like college where seeing my friends who I'd love to connect with enjoying their friends, it was horrible. It felt so painful and so, it did not help.
I cannot even imagine, like going back to high school, I can't imagine what that would have felt like to see, you know, a picture of a party that I know everybody there and I wasn't invited.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's hard.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. And so I would say it actually just depends on the person. I mm-hmm. think it can be a really wonderful tool. And again, in coaching, sometimes it's been the tool that has enhanced relationships, especially for people who feel like, I haven't found my people. I've maxed out my small circles. Then it's like, could you reconnect with a long distance friend and ask, you know, hey, do you want to do a buddy read together? Would you like to, you know, we'll both read the book and then we'll connect over and like chat about it mm-hmm. over the next couple of weeks, or watch a show together, which sounds so silly, but a friend of mine got sick and we love a certain show on Netflix. So we watched like 3 episodes every night together on FaceTime while we watched our like separate televisions. And it was so fun. Sounds weird, right? But no, it was a blast. It was really great. So sometimes that can be so good. And I'm like, no, technology has some really wonderful ways to connect people when you can't connect in person. Mm-hmm. If you can't connect in person, it's always better. Yeah. But you just got to watch out. Mm-hmm. Kind of, you know, take your temperature. Where are you? Are you in a healthy place where, yeah, it's serving your friendships? And if it's not, then I'm like,
yeah,
you know, then don't, then get rid of it. You don't need it.
Yeah. What are some ways that it doesn't serve friendships? Like, I can think of one immediately that I see happening, but there's probably more. Like, when people try to text heavy things, you know, there's a disagreement and they're hashing it out through texting. And I'm like, why don't you just talk? Like, so much can get misunderstood. Mm-hmm. What are some other ways that technology actually can sabotage healthy relationships?
Yeah, that's a great one, too. Also, just like, I don't know, reading assumptions from people's technology. It's so complicated. Another thing that I have seen, again, kind of coming out of research with technology and friendship, is that people feel like they don't need to check in anymore because they felt like they just did. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, I just saw her picture. So like, I know what's going on. So the lack of reaching out, reconnecting, catching up has decrease because you feel like you're already caught up on their lives. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I see friends who don't use social media. I have moments where I think, oh, well, I need to call them. Like, I just don't know anything about what's going on in their lives. And I just feel like I need an update. And so, yeah, but I do notice with friends that maybe again, that's like on your peripheral, your acquaintances, you're like, oh, cool. Like, they took their kids to the museum. That's so fun. Or wow, they're celebrating their anniversary. Like, honey, did you see that? It's their anniversary. But then you never, you just aren't led to actually connect.
Does it count to like,
to like it? Like it? No, I no. think it doesn't.
Okay. All right. Guilty on that one. When we look at the research, loneliness is an epidemic in our culture. Yes. It's just skyrocketing. Mm-hmm. And loneliness is not just the feeling of, wow, I'm all alone, but it leads to anxiety, depression, just we don't function well. We weren't made to be lonely. And without a doubt, somebody's listening to this and they're like, wow, I am so lonely. Like, this is actually painful for me to hear.
Yeah.
Because I so desperately want friends.
Yes.
What is the first step for them to take?
Yeah, I would say look at who's already around you. And if you're feeling lonely, I bet there's someone else who is feeling the exact same way. So don't just assume that she already has her friends, so she's probably too busy for me, or she already seems really connected, so she probably doesn't want me to reach out, because I know people have assumed that about me, and I do have wonderful friendships, but like, I have lonely moments too. And I don't love it when my friends just assume, well, she's a mom of three now, so she probably doesn't like even need adult connection. You're like, I do. I need it more than ever. And so my first thing would be like, get over, I think, the insecurity of, well, they already have their friends. They're probably too busy. I probably would burden them if I reached out. No, like, everybody has the ups and downs of loneliness, and being reached out to and invited to do something is just, it is a gift. It makes someone feel so good and special and loved, appreciated and seen. So I would say, so that's like first. And the second thing is, then do it. I always joke that, you know, if you say like, let's get together, let's do this, you need to like pull out your phones, get phone numbers, set a date and time, and then stick to it. So don't cancel last minute. Out of any kind of, again, fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, really kind of push yourself to try something new or go have a conversation with a new friend, even if it seems exhausting and you're scared. Like, I truly believe every time I've walked into a situation feeling like, oh, I just don't want to do this today, I've walked away saying, I'm so glad I did. Mm. So those are some kind of first steps.
Mm-hmm. You talk about like looking at who's around you, which for some people it's like, yeah, you know, like that person I work with or a person I see walking in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But I think with COVID, some people's lives have really become very isolated. They work from home.
Yeah.
They've stopped going to church. Mm-hmm. They don't see people. Or maybe, like you described, they moved. You moved to Denver.
Yeah.
You didn't know anybody. Mm-hmm. What are some ways of even just starting to build community so that we even have that first step of being exposed to people when we don't have to be? Like, we live in a
That's
world where
such a good point.
You don't have to really see anyone face to face.
I would say then you need to go.
Yeah.
You need to go and do. You need to go to a coffee shop, join a gym, like go to the neighborhood book club.
Whatever your hobbies are.
Whatever your hobbies are.
Or serve.
Or serve. Mm-hmm. You're finding like-minded people. So you probably have a place to start that relationship. And again, if I can give an example, there was a gal at my gym years ago that she just kind of was always in the same class I was taking. And she made a comment once, "I like your shirt." And I said, "Thanks." So I saw her walking on the treadmill before our class, a few minutes before. And so I was like, "I'm going to go to have a conversation." So, mm-hmm. I got on the treadmill and I was just like, "Oh, hi. Like, I've seen you in my class. This is my name. How's your day?" We chat a little bit. And then I said, "Hey, do you come tomorrow? I'll be here tomorrow at this time. Do you typically come?" She's like, "Yeah, that sounds like about my window of coming." I was like, "Do you want to bike next to each other tomorrow?" And so she's like, "Sure." So we're not even taking the friendship out of the gym. Mm-hmm. I was just kind of saying "Oh, is this the time you normally come? Let's bike next to each other so we can talk some more." Which then led to getting numbers and meeting outside of the gym and spending mm-hmm. time together on walks with my kids. And, she wasn't being invited into life outside of that thing. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm like, you can really develop a friendship just by, again, using what's there. If you meet someone at the knitting class, truly, there's a really cool knitting class here in Denver. I don't knit, but I'm like, that's cool. I mm-hmm. wish I had time for that. But it's like, and you sat by someone and you had a good conversation. Well, next time, intentionally, make sure you sit by that person mm-hmm. To say, I think this is going somewhere. After a couple of times, then you say, "Hey, can I have your number? Because I would love to go get smoothies together, or, we can mm-hmm. go shopping at the yarn store together."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's good advice. We all got to start somewhere, right?
Got to start somewhere. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you've picked up a few pieces of some godly wisdom and practical advice taken away from my conversation with Bailey today. You can find out more about Bailey from her website or pick up a book, Together is a Beautiful Place, and we'll link to that in our show notes and at AuthenticNMC.com. And thanks for listening. I look forward to having coffee with you next time on Java with Julie.